Good morning, Barbados. Welcome to Getting Down to Brass Tacks for Thursday, an overcast Thursday, June 28th. This is Sanka Price. I'm here with Dennis Johnson, our producer, technical director. And I'm hoping to have a really good session today because there's so much to talk about. If you look at your Daily Nation today, I think the story that may be on a lot of people's lips is the fact that the mandatory death penalty for murder has been struck down by the Caribbean Court of Justice. And that means that in future, when somebody is involved with a murder, the circumstances would have to be taken into account before that person can be sentenced to death. Because don't forget, the death penalty is still on the statute books. In other words, you can still sentence a man to hang, but it is no longer mandatory. In other words, the judges will have a little bit more discretion. And if I recall, Dennis, maybe you can help me here just in case I've erred. The case with Winston Hall, the initial case, he was not the actual man who pulled the trigger. He was, I think, the lookout man. But because he was with the group who committed the actual murder, he was also sentenced. And so that's how it goes. So in future, there'll be discretion to make that decision by the judges. And of course, one of the things that I really enjoy, I'm really looking forward to this weekend, is the island-wide cleanup. I don't think it's been given enough publicity. And quite frankly, I don't think they've been given a chance to have enough public buy-in to what this whole thing is. But, you know, there are some countries, and I remember back in the 90s, certainly in Nigeria, it was a big deal where you had once every few months, I think it was every quarter, you would have this national cleanup where people, ordinary citizens, would come and give back to the society. And as I said, it happens in a number of countries, but you need to build this up, especially in a country like Barbados, where people think that, oh, that's the government's job. You know, you just can't bring these things like this and expect people are just going to have a buy-in. Of course, there's several groups who voluntarily go and clean up the beaches on weekends. But you want to actually encourage people and start it from the grassroots, from the children in the schools, right back up to the adults. Because it's a great thing to keep this island beautiful, because we live in a beautiful country, in a beautiful part of the world. And how I know this? That's why a lot of these cruise ships are here. They're here not because they like to bring their money and spend it with us, not because they like to be in our part of the world. It's because we live in the most beautiful part of the world. That's why they come. That's why they're coming to make money off of us. So we should keep our surroundings clean. Anyhow, we go to the phone lines and hear what's on your mind. Good morning. This is Sanka. How are you today?
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Brandon, Dr. Bradley. And you?
I am well. It seems that you are opening batsman, man. You like to be first.
Yeah. I have things to do today, really. A couple of things there, Mr. Price. I want to continue last time I spoke to you. First thing I ask you, what was the amount of money that was brought in with the NSRL?
You tell me, because I don't know.
I was still figuring out over 200 million.
That figure does not sound accurate at all.
That way, I'm not too sure about it. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, the point is that we removed the NSRL. And the thing is that, let's assume that you're running the government and another party coming into power. You are going to remove one tax. But you have to get that money. And how do we go about getting that money that you remove? Because you just can't take all that money and say, well, we finish with that, and that's the end of that. Because politics and economics don't work that way. So what we do, though? I check it out. It is $35 for the Caribbean islands and $70 US. This is US, though, for international countries. So we put on this It was there before, but we increased the departure tax.
The departure taxes have not really been increased. They've not called it departure tax. It's called something else.
They didn't call it that. But anyhow, they could call, you know, you could call it.
But let me cross you.
I think has more than one.
Let me cross you. The tax, the NSRL has been removed, but there are other taxes that have been put in place. I don't have my notes in front of me now. That basically makes up for it.
Now, that's you remember, what I'm trying to
do. But that is only common sense.
Right.
Okay? The point about it is not what is done, it is how it is done. One of the things that Tony Moore, the point that Tony Moore, the General Secretary of Barbados Workers Union, made in the Senate yesterday, was that how the government went about the NSRL was wrong. And that this present regime, how the Front District regime went about the NSRL was wrong. And this government under Mia Motley should learn from the mistakes that last government did.
Right.
She made hold a second. I'm answering you. She made the point that they had a social partnership meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No discussion was made about putting 10% on, putting up the NSRL from 2% to 10%. But then after this meeting, the social partnership meeting, which was a prelude to the budget, then the Minister of Finance came and announced this in the budget with no discussion with them. So, and that is part of the anger that they had. You see, in life, as you will know, because you sound like an experienced man, it is always about how you do what you do. That's what really matters. Because the fact about it is that any thinking person would recognize that you cannot lose the revenue earned by the NSRL, but how you bring that money on, in other words, how you put it on and where you put it on, will make a difference. Next thing is communication, okay? Talk with people. That, as a politician, your biggest job, from my perspective, is communication. Talking to your constituents. That is what they fail to do. And that is why this thing was so onerous.
Mm-hmm. But having that said, what you said, the bottom line is that we are going to reach the same point. You could talk nice to me, you could be communicating good to me, but at the bottom, I'd be there, I still got to take my hand in my pockets and pay. And that is the bottom line.
What is your alternative, sir?
No.
You are saying that you don't have a choice but to pay something. I am saying, asking you, what is the alternative? Because the situation in the country, the economic situation, is what it is. So if this economic situation is what it is, what do you propose that the government do?
I am not saying that you don't have to pay.
So what is the point?
The point is that you are talking about communications, and you said that Tony Moore in the Senate said this and said that. But this is the same Tony Moore and the social partnerships, which I described. I don't know if you hear me. You might not be there at that time. Maybe hello on me. I told the members of my party that the
you have a party?
The party that I belong to.
Which one is that? There are about six or seven or eight names that you call already. So lost track.
You lost track. Don't worry about the names. I said them, though. I told them, look.
But I can't take you serious. When you come and tell me about your party, and you got about six or seven different names that you call for a party, how can I take you serious?
But you don't have to. Don't forget about that part. Anyhow, I was addressing them a fortnight ago. And people could see that. So what Tony Moore said is, it just goes in one ear and it comes out the other ear. And my advice to Tony Moore and the union leaders is that what goes around will eventually come around one ear. The second point, you there?
Yeah, I'm listening to you.
The second point, how long you were in politics? Because this name, Sanka Price, doesn't ring a bell. I was trying to get some files.
How long have I been in politics?
Yeah, or active politics, really.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh.
What part of active politics have I ever been in?
I thought you were one time engaged in active politics.
Really?
Yeah.
But see, not only do you have no idea about the political party you have, you are clearly delusional. Let me take a commercial break and get paid. Welcome back to Brass Stats. This is Sanka Price with you. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, sir.
How are you today?
Greetings, not bad. Greetings and salutations to your good self.
Thank
During
you.
During the past, while I was listed as one of the regular callers to this station down by the riverside, the station had a doctor on call. I thought at the time there should also be a lawyer on call, to which thanks should be paid to Mr. David Ellis, who made it a reality. I like to see the reintroduction of law on call. That being my preamble, let me begin my contribution by first saying, a few months ago, approximately 18 attorneys at law were introduced to the CILT being qualified as QCs. An open question, what is the criteria to become a QC, seeing that there are a high percentage of senior attorneys at law and their juniors had the distinguished title added to their profession? A few noticeable absentees are High Court judges, which included the Honorable Sir Marston Gibson, attorneys, constitutional lawyer, and former Deputy Speaker of the House of Assembly, Mr. Ezra Allen, attorney at law, Mr. R.M. Bobby Clark, Mr. Dayton Rawlings, former magistrate, Mr. Robert Simmons. It is noteworthy and very commendable that the Honorable Dave Marshall, QCMP, has hinted to the introduction of temporary High Court judges to help speed up the delivery of justice. At this point, sir, I know of quite a number of cases pending hearing, and quite recently, a top-ranking police officer sent in his resignation, but the commissioner has not given to date reason of the resignation. The Daily Nation of Monday, March 16, 2015, and Tuesday, March 17, 2015, respectively, should be a priority hearing, as very little is heard of that case. Headlines, deadly shot man dead, another injured in police-involved gunfire, and no warning shot. Son recalls seeing dad pause after sudden song of fire. In conclusion, sir, I know that Mr. Peter Wickham is going to be pleased of learning that the CCJ has said that Barbados's mandatory death penalty is unconstitutional. I am not knowledgeable in any aspect of the law, but what the CCJ was about to open its doors, I recall a local leading attorney at law had criticized its establishment. Having it associated as being, or in other words, he had listed it as a hangman court. The same attorney also had disapproved the appointment of Sir David Simmons as CJ. However, when Sir David came to the end of his term, he was one of the first to praise him as the best CJ who never lost a case and deserves to have an extension as CJ. The CCJ's ruling has sent me back down memory lane, sir, where the case with Pratt and Morgan went to the British Privy Council and they gave their verdict, but never questioned the Constitution as unconstitutional on the death penalty. I am an advocate of the best penalty, a deterrent, and not a punishment. I listen for your answer, sir.
Thank you very much. In terms of the death penalty, I made the point that it is still on the statute books. Someone can still be sentenced to death. It is now no longer mandatory. That is, that when a person comes before the judge and he is charged, he or she, and they're charged for murder, the judge, if they're found guilty, the judge had no choice but to automatically sentence them to death. CCJ is saying that that mandatory death penalty is unconstitutional, and therefore that the circumstances would have to be taken into account. And if based on the circumstances that the judge assesses it's a very heinous crime, and the person should pay the ultimate price for committing such an act, then the judge, in his or her learned opinion, can still sentence that person to death. So the death penalty is still there. It's just that there's a level of discretion that, that one has to take into account. No, it's not no longer automatic. We take another call. Good morning. You are on the air.
Morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm well.
Okay. Now, when the last
we have an echo on with you. Most likely, you have me. You're on speakerphone.
I'm not.
You need to come a little closer to the microphone.
I'm not on speakerphone. Are you having me hear me better?
All right, no, we're still getting a little echo. Anyway, go ahead. You go ahead, sir. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we always say that we were overtaxed under the last administration. Now, you always said you can't tax yourself out of a recession. Now, the NSRL was 10%, and that was removed by this administration. I want you to hear me out. First of all, I want to tell you, though, that the people who are expecting that food prices will come down, basic food prices will come down because the NSRL was removed, they're going to be in for the shock of their life. Because the last administration ring-fenced a basket of goods, over 300 items, from being negatively affected by the NSRL. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Good. So when the prices on the basically 300 items in the basket of goods, they don't come down, I hope Barbadians will not be surprised because they were not negatively affected by the imposition of the NSRL.
That's not accurate.
First point
but
I want to make.
That's not what you're accurate what you just said there, but go ahead.
Well, no, tell me how am I inaccurate?
Because the prices still went up. The issue here, the real issue, because I know how mischievous you are, and I sense where you're heading with this already. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but I don't think I am. I usually am not with you. But the reality is this. The government has got to get people's feet out there in those supermarkets. They should have been checking the prices over the last 2 weeks, because I do shopping, and I can tell you that I've seen prices begin to inch up, because as far as I'm concerned, what a lot of these unscrupulous business people are going to do, not all are unscrupulous, but some are, what they will do and what they have been doing, as far as I'm concerned, based on what I've been seeing, is they will begin to add on and add on and add on. By the time Sunday comes, and SRL is off, they'll say, oh, well, you know, the stock has to go out and whatnot. And the prices will be maintained for months. And then, when in 3 months' time, when all your stock should be out, you'll find that the prices will go down very little. And that's because they have already added it on.
But all of that
is what they do. Give me a second, I'll give you a talk. The only way to deal with that is if you have boots on the ground, checking and double checking. I know for sure that there's some business places involved in retail who have somebody they sent around to all the different establishments that they're competing with, and they monitor prices, okay, so that they would know if they are if they're a little over, they bring their prices under to remain competitive, to stay just, even if it's 5 cents ahead or 10 cents ahead. I know that for a fact. So the whole point about it is very sad. So to my mind, you want to make the political point because that's you. You're a politician. But the real thing, my concern as a Barbadian is the fact that a number of unscrupulous people are going to try to take advantage of the situation. And that, if you care about Barbados, instead of coming to make political points, that is, in my view, is what you should be talking about.
Give me a chance, mister.
You've had enough chances.
But you
hear Matt Fingal's latest song? Did you hear Matt Fingal's latest song?
Well, you talk more than me, Mr. Price. But you
because you had a lot of chance to talk, sir. A lot.
No, but you talk. But one minute, give me a chance here.
You talk, man.
The point remains that when the NSRL was placed on, the tax was imposed, people were saying that it affected the cost of living, that the cost of living went up, especially on food items. And that was not so, because the last administration ensured that those basket of items, over 300 of them.
And I said to you that that was, that although they had, as you use the word ring-fenced, although it was ring-fenced, what invariably happened is that we still saw an increase in those items. The point is, and I think, and I'm trying to make the essential point here, trying to make the political point, okay? I will allow you to make your political point, and then I will make my essential point. You go ahead.
All right. You know, the 10% was removed recently by this administration. But look what they did, and I want you to hear me out. 2.5% health levy will go on in another few months. 150 per day, 45 months will go on water.
No. I'm not going to let you get away with a total inaccuracy. The 150 does not go on water. It is for garbage and sewage. It goes on the water bill. And you well know that was the easiest way to get to every household.
Will it not be attached to the water bill?
It will be on the water bill. Okay, but it's not on water. It's a difference. It's on the water bill, but it's not on water. It's not an increase. No, it's not semantics. It is not semantics.
When you get your water bill, and when I get my water bill from next month, $45 will be on it. I don't care if it's for water or it'll be in the water bill. Now, 28 cents, we have to pay more on diesel and gas. I just removed the 10%, you know. Listen to me, the lambasted tourism sector, adding you with me still?
I'm listening to you.
US on extra-regional travel and 35 on regional travel. They increased the daily room rates on the hotel. These same businesses have to pay now 50% more on their water bills in another few weeks. They raised the tax ban on the middle class. Anybody who earns $75,000 and over now have to pay 40% of their income. And all of those taxes are to replace the 10% NSRL that was removed. Mr. Price, you are becoming the apologist in chief for the Barbados Labour Party.
I am not being an apologist in chief, okay? And because as I said, I know where you're going with all of this. And as some party is here saying, whoa, he is a propaganda machine. The point about it is, sir, you tell us, since I am the propaganda, since I am the person who is an apologist, I would like you to tell us Barbadians what option the government had in the face of the fiscal crisis that we're in. What would your party would have done? What would you have done? You tell us. No. You tell us what you would have done. You tell the people of Barbados, sir. You tell the people of Barbados what you would have done.
I would have let the 10% NSRI remain instead of slaying the people of Barbados with all of these additional taxes.
Fine.
That's what I would have done.
Good. How are you going to pay do with the sewage situation? How are you going to pay with the garbage collection? Or you will let everything continue as is because everything was going great.
The point remains that
the point remains, sir. The point remains, sir, that Barbadians have spoken about the level of inertia, the level of incompetence that they saw being exhibited by your regime that you are represented. And they resoundingly removed you because of it. I am not being an apologist. I am being a realist. We all have to pay taxes. And none of us like to pay taxes. I don't like the idea of having to pay $45 more on that is attached to my water bill. I don't like that idea at all. But I understand it is a necessity because At the same time, your garbage has to be collected and the whole sewage system has to be paid for. That is a reality. And if the garbage ain't collected and the sewage system ain't paid for, although I am not connected to the sewage line, I am still going to be affected. And every Barbadian, the Barbadian who lives in St. Lucie or St. James or wherever, who's not even connected to a sewage system, they're still going to be affected, because when you have that problem in Bridgetown and when you have that problem in Christchurch in the South Coast and it's not fixed, we are all impacted by it. That is a reality, sir. When your garbage is not collected, and we're seeing it right now, when you see rats during the day, when you start seeing rats during the day, that means you've got real rats all over the place. And that's because for the last few several years, garbage collection has gone to the dumps. And we have to be realistic. As I said earlier, it is not what you do, it's how you do it. So if I'm an apologist, well, hell, I don't mind being an apologist for something that is worthwhile doing. And one of the things that people like yourself need to come here and tell us, if you're going to be critical of all these measures, is what is the alternative? You had a chance to say it. Instead of saying, instead of bashing people, instead of cussing people, you didn't give us the alternative. And that's why Barbadians kicked you out. That is the reality. We take a commercial break.